The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Hello. Here we are on the next to last day of our summer ongo. It's a really unforeseen summer ongo. You know, it was so long ago that we were compelled to cancel our usual residential retreat and try to find a way to ritually appreciate retreat time. So I really want to congratulate our Shuso Echo and the whole Ongo team and the whole Sangha and all of you who decided to practice during this Ongo time to make it really inclusive and compelling. All online. Who would have thought? Thank you. Thank you all. And I must say, our Shuso Echo is uniquely suited to lead us at this time. She has many skills and a wonderful life of practice with us. Maybe 25, 30 years of practice with the Village Zendo. So she was like the perfect Shuso with her administrative and organizational skills to help us through this strange time. I think that right now, because of what's going on in the world, the insanity of what's going on in the world, it's really important to appreciate ritual, to take the backward step, and recognize ourselves in this world. And the ritual helps us to invigorate our understanding so that we can work with what we've got in front of us. So Ongo has been a time, as it is every year, to reorganize us, ourselves, to study the Dharma for this time, when it is needed right now. And of course, as it is always customary, usually in the summer, we take up a fascicle of Dogen's because of his deep philosophical understanding and his creative, expressive, kind of almost musical texts. It's a wonderful way for us to freely investigate the Dharma. And because this time is so, as Joran put it, so virtual, we're really faced with this kind of information pollution that's going on in our world, all over the world. Just last night, I listened to an investigation about what happened in Poland and kind of how the museums were taken over by the right wing and how they changed the message. And this is happening day to day, everywhere, all over the world. And of course, especially here in this very embarrassing country that we live in. So what better time to study painting of a rice cake. We studied it with the scholar Griff Folk and then with the two wonderful workshops with Ryotan Roshi and Shinryu Sensei. And if you miss those, they're online and you'll be able to listen to them because they're just extraordinary. And this week we heard from Bokushu Hoshi, Joshin Roshi, Shinryu and Ryotan again, each one speaking right to this wonderful multi-layered fascicle, rice cake. And of course, then throughout the Ongo, all of the senior students have also referred to it. So it is a beautiful piece. I encourage you to go back to it. So it forces us to ask, what is this reality? Or what value is a portrait of reality? A narrative, a song, a dance? What kind of expression of what is true is helpful and valuable? What does a portrait or an expression teach us about the world, about ourselves, and our life with others in this world? Of what value is the painting of a rice cake, or a painting of a loved one, or a photograph of a landscape, or a film of birds' flight, or a song, or a dance, or a poem of joy or melancholy? We can't eat those things. We can't eat a painted rice cake, or hold the hand of the loved one in the portrait, or walk in that idyllic landscape. But does that mean that we're missing the truth? If you've been fortunate enough to participate in our Ongo Arts retreats, you have been investigating this question. Through the musical sounds and rhythms, the painting mind with colors, filming reality as you see it, with your iPhone, shaping the letters of the Heart Sutra in high concentration, or writing down thoughts and feelings, impressions of the mind. What is that all about? How can we learn from our expression? Ikkyu, you know, the 15th century Zen poet, wrote, "And what is mind, and how is it recognized? It is clearly drawn in sumi ink, the sound of breezes drifting through the pine. And what is mind, and how is it recognized? It is clearly drawn in sumi ink, the sound of breezes drifting through the pine." But you know, we can't help ourselves. We want a subject, verb, object explanation of mind, of our lives, of the Dharma. What the hell is going on in this country? We hunger for answers to our questions. Why this pandemic now? Why racism ever? Why suffering? Why Trump? Or maybe how can I make a difference? How can I serve? What can I do? How can I be with the world as it is now? What is the meaning of my life? At the end of Painting of a Rice Cake, Dogen emphasizes that it's only in this life that we have the opportunity to express and realize the truth, to satisfy our hunger. Here's what he writes. "Since this is so, there is no remedy for satisfying hunger other than a painted rice cake. Without painted hunger, you never become a true person. There is no understanding other than painted satisfaction. In fact, satisfying hunger, satisfying beyond hunger, not satisfying hunger, and not satisfying beyond hunger cannot be attained or spoken of without painted hunger. For now, study all of these as a painted rice cake. You know, when I read that, I imagine Dogen talking to himself in a little room at Ahiji, maybe up high, and he's, maybe he has a scroll in front of him, and he's writing, and he's realizing that his writing is a painted rice cake, and his thinking is a painted rice cake, and he begins to play with that. It's as if he's singing himself a song, and he's sharing it with us. Why write these dazzling, you know, playful riddles? But as a way, a path for him to understand, to satisfy his own hunger, maybe to help his compatriots there. You can just imagine, you know, Ahiji is this great big monastery in Japan in the mountains. But at the time, I think there were like 9 or 10 people there. 9 or 10 men, and then down the road was a little hut where there were some women students. Yes. So he would be writing this drafty, cold room as a path, as a way for us to understand the value of painting a rice cake. How can we use language to understand something which defies language? We want to understand life and death, good and bad, real and imagined. You know, right now, it's not only right now that there's an epistemological crisis in our country, it's always been. It's something about the nature of expression, of expressing, of trying to know, of trying to verify, of trying to pin down what is true, what is real. You know, and I think that that's why some of us are drawn to Zen and drawn to the old Zen koans and studies, which are always about some beginner who grasps onto an idea, grasps onto a word, and thus loses the essence, or the non-essence, as we would say, missing the point entirely. I laugh at these stories each time, seeing myself doing that, grasping at a word or a phrase. I still do this. I do this when I open the New York Times in the morning. This is the truth. So why are we studying this question? Isn't it to find a way that we can express our awe, our question, our understanding, that is in fact ineffable and unexpressible, unknowable in that old subject, verb, object way? I think those of you who were able to appreciate or to take part in our expressive art Sangho may have had a glimpse of that. Way creative expression allows us to enter into a new and different way of understanding. You know, I think a few years ago I shared with you something that I want to talk about again today, which is a painting that I saw in a temple in Kyoto. I had read a monograph by Yukio Lippitt, published at the Getty. And the name of it was called The Impossible Painting. I was so drawn to it, I needed to track that impossible painting down. What would that be? Sounds like a koan, doesn't it? And it's at Myo Shinji in Kyoto. And the name of the painting is called The Gourd and the Catfish. And it was painted in the 14th century by a Rinzai monk, actually a Chinese monk who had come over and was studying in Japan. And his name in Japanese was Josetsu. And he painted this for the shogun of Japan. And the painting is about this big. And it is in a private chapel of the shoguns. And the name of the chapel is Searching for the Mysterious. And inside this chapel, Searching for the Mysterious, is this wonderful painting. It shows a curved riverbank, beautiful, soft, moving curves. And standing on the bank next to the water that's flowing is a kind of funky, kind of bum, disheveled looking guy, kind of a country bumpkin type, you know. And he's holding this gourd, which is curved, you know, like a big butternut squash, half of it pulled out, and with a really long neck. And he's looking down at the river where we see a catfish swimming in the coursing, flowing water. And, you know, these wonderful waves are shown and this beautiful catfish is moving in the water. And then above this image of this raggedy man with a big gourd and this catfish swimming, above that is like in a large rectangle are like 31 verses written in Chinese, one after the other, kind of rectangle, 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 rectangle. So visually, you're seeing these are words and this is an image, right? It's as if we went to the mat and we looked at a painting, and then below it were like 30 people's opinions about it, written text. The first one is written by Daigaku, who was the most prominent monk at the time. He wrote, "How can something as slippery as a catfish be captured by something as smooth as a gourd?" And of course, all of the successive poems are about this very same thing. How can something rigid, yet smooth, like a halved gourd, be used to capture a lively, moving, slippery, living thing? So, you know, that's Dogen's question in this facet. Maybe if you were able to participate in any of the creative arts, you can understand the question about how can music, sound, watercolors, iPhone videos, tracing the Heart Sutra, writing words, giving talks, how can those modes of expression capture reality? Capture mind, capture the boundless nature of what we call life. Sounds pretty zen. Pretty impossible. And it's what we do. Like the painting, we express the possibility. Perhaps we notice the quality of elusive mind in the painting, in the bending, curving shape of the gourd, and the fish, so similar but so full of life. They're not the same. giving us a visual metaphor of mind and reality, same yet different, flow and struggle. So for a moment, we might get it, but then we can't grasp it any more than we can grasp that fish in the flowing waters. We use awkward tools, words, and cameras, and sound, and image to capture the mind that cannot be captured. It is the mind that cannot be grasped. It sounds just like, you know, remember Wike asking, complaining to Bodhidharma how his mind was not at rest? Bodhi says, bring me your mind, I'll put it to rest. Wike says, I can't find my mind. Now I put it at rest. That always seemed like such a cheap shot to me. And yet, listen to that go on again. So what about us today? How do we paint our rice cakes? One of the poems that's above the painting I told you about is by Myochu, and he wrote, why must yet another strive to pin a catfish with a gourd? As if swimming in these expansive waters, let him lose himself in the way. Why must yet another strive to pin a catfish with a gourd? As if swimming in these expansive waters, let him lose himself in the way. It's a beautiful invitation for us to swim in the expansive waters of mind, of emptiness, to lose ourselves in the expression of the way. Whether that expression is direct service, whether it's a composition, a song, whatever expression there is, to lose ourselves in the way. This painting, like life, offers the incongruities of life and expression. The emptiness of space, the awkwardness of the figure holding the gourd, kind of helplessly, kind of clumsily. It reminds me of myself as I try to express this to you right now. Trying to convey some sense of wholeness, emptiness. I feel like that country bumpkin right now. It's like I'm putting the gourd on my head in an attempt to capture the meaning of this fascicle for us today. And so that's why I love that painting, and that's why I love that fascicle. Our task is impossible. Because of course we use words to communicate. Of course we use images to communicate, and gesture and sound. They're all awkward, slimy things. And they often don't work too well. So we can't believe them. We can't fix ourselves into them. We just have to work with them. We still have to paint the rice cake. Will you paint it? Will you paint it with me? Here's my closing verse for you. Rice, wheat, lentils, and corn. Cakes, loaves, tortillas. Poems, songs, and paintings. Graffiti of the mind. Wisdom of the heart. Care, compassion, and service. Appreciate the whole. Thank you.
Thank you.